Hey guys, if you're really enjoying what you're listening to, we would highly appreciate your support. Of course, you can always share it with friends and family members so they also are introduced to our wonderful tribe of woo-woo women of the West. And you can also support us financially too. If you wish to, at jerkyhutbroadcastingstudios.com, you can click the support button. We'll have a PayPal and a Venmo option for you if you want to shoot us maybe a fiver, a tenner, a 20, or whatever you feel you want to support the show with. Mostly goes to putting it on and just enjoying our great guests. Also, if you are supporting yourself with CBD, you've got an option in Harmonious CBD, and you can save a little extra when you use my code TESSA10%. That's TESSA 10%, and it'll save you definitely on that shipping while you get quality CBD shipped direct to your home here in the USA. Thanks, guys, for listening, and here's our show. And welcome to another episode of Woo Woo Women of the West. I am your host, Miss Tessa Marie. I'm staring right at Jerky. Yes.
Hi.
The fine producer here at Jerky Hut Broadcasting
you
Studios.
You are extra excited today.
I am because...
I can feel it in you.
And especially because I think you'll like this topic too. That was part of my excitement because we're today talking
finally.
About... He's gone through so much woo woo stuff. He's like, oh my God, ladies. Today though, we are talking about the magic of brains with my neurologist, Dr.
Alicia Walker.
Alicia, I butcher every name.
Every name. So
I thought I was gonna nail today. I was practicing on the way over. I'm like, Alicia. Alicia Walker. And actually also husband, Dr. Tim Walker. Welcome to the show.
Dr. Tim Moore.
Oh, you did? You muted his microphone.
No.
Oh, no. No men on the Woo Woo Women show.
I think it's good now. Let's try it again.
Yeah, Dr. Tim Moore. Actually.
Moore? Oh, I'm sorry.
I haven't done the name change
oh,
yet.
Oh, okay. Oh, my goodness. I'm name changing this year, too. I'm going from Rodriguez to Peters. That'll be a nice change.
Which, oddly enough, Peters is my wife's maiden name. So it's a weird circle there.
Yeah. Also, weirdly enough, you and I are both wearing pineapples today. We'll try to take a picture of that to share with our podcasters, too. I'm so grateful you guys have a half day here on this Friday to come in and join us, too, and to talk a lot more. So, obviously, we'll be focusing mostly with you, Missy, over there.
All right.
For our listeners, I do love to kind of tell them first how we met. And so in our case too, actually it's kind of funny too because I accidentally got a little bit of nightshade in me the other day too. Nightshades. I've kind of touched briefly on the show on this about the fact that tomatoes, potatoes, peppers, eggplants, and a handful of other things
all
that
the good stuff.
Never see in the store anyways. I learned that they affect my system in a big bad way. If they get into my gut, I get angry, and I hate that this is something that happens to me. It's the weirdest thing to know that this food is causing a gut-brain connection. Now, the only way I discovered more about this was I went to a lovely place called Power Health here in Reno, Nevada, when I was there, you know, the testing, I didn't know what it was really going to be like, but it was really revealing, this testing, and it was nice to know that I'm not crazy. Mm-mm. The gut really does talk to and work with the brain, but... Goodness. Okay, so, but beyond that, where we ran into each other that I invited you to the show on, after being super impressed by you, by the way, the whole staff at Power Health, like, you guys are awesome, and I really love your approach, by the way, that comes from, you know, working with just more than just medicine, you know, you're actually like working. I have brain exercises I do at home. They are so simple and yet exhausting.
Very exhausting.
So I know I'm working out something and making it healthier too. But so where we ran back into each other was at a dispensary downtown, but we'll dive into that a little bit later. But when you came in, I was so grateful you did, because I was like, man, I don't have all my funds to continue my treatment at this moment, but I was really wanting to see you again to ask you to come here. And I was going to come down to Power Health to ask you. So, amen, angels, for bringing you inside.
Yes.
And now, let's dive into it. Let's talk about you, Miss Doctor over there.
All right.
Let's begin with the fact you're from Canada, actually.
Yes, I am.
Yay! What part of Canada did you grow up in?
So I tell people Vancouver, British Columbia.
Okay.
But I'm actually from a smaller town called Cloverdale.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But still on the west side?
West side. So
see,
I'm part
she's
of
the
Greater
West Coast
Vancouver.
Girl. I told you this is the west.
West coast is the best coast.
Hell yeah. So then did you do all of your studying? Well, of course, we'll talk about what led into it. But did you do most of your studying up there in Canada, or did you train down here?
I did all my undergraduate studies back in British Columbia.
Okay.
And then I moved down to San Jose, California to do my graduate studies.
There's definitely some smart people there. That is for sure. So let's start with, I guess for you, the first time that you thought about wanting to look into brains. Was it something when you were pretty young, or is it something that came around later in life?
I actually, in 2016, I went to a seminar that was hosted by the late Dr. John D'Onofrio.
Okay.
And I happened to meet him while I was doing my national board training. It's through a program called Irene Gold, and they help you study for the national boards, which you have to pass.
You must. I did for massage, and I'm like, oh, my God.
And
it's
so
some studying. Yours is much harder, of course, though. Way harder.
Way to compare brain surgery to massage therapy.
Test. I was comparing national testing.
Just more in depth.
Stress either way. Yeah. But go, continue.
So it was at that national boards that he said that he has this Y-File seminar. So in 2016, Dr. Moore and myself attended the Y-Files. And it's just that. Why files, the whys to all of our questions.
Really? So what kind of questions was he diving into?
Health related. So let's say stress. Why are we getting stress? Mm-hmm. Why does our body respond to stress in a certain way? Or say it's pain related, a fibromyalgia. Why does fibromyalgia present in a certain way?
Mm-hmm.
Or even we talked a lot about cancers and cancer treatments and why certain treatments work, why certain don't.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just answering the whys to a lot of our health issues.
How long did he do his research and study on that file for? Your eyes just lit up like, well.
His entire life.
Yeah.
Basically,
His whole entire life was devoted to
answering
finding all
these
those whys.
Exactly,
and not only finding, but being able to pass that on to just anyone and everyone that's willing to take on that information.
Yeah. Now, in those whys, was there like categories of them? Like some answers were food, some answers were emotional and mental health, some answers were spiritual things?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
So there is, kind of broke it down into four reasons why people get sick.
You have notes!
I have notes!
I love that! Bring those to the table! Yeah, girl! Love it! Okay.
Always prepared.
Yes! I love this lady. This is so good. Okay.
Slightly type A, right?
In a good way. I got my little artistic notes over here.
So four reasons why we get sick. One, being brain imbalances. Two, toxicities. So that could be toxicities from our foods. That could be toxicities from our environment.
Yeah.
The third one is deficiencies. So again, deficiencies from our food.
Mm-hmm.
So minerals and vitamins. And then the last one is lack of exercise. We are
really?
A society that is so sedentary.
Yes.
We are
is
not
it
moving
weird
enough.
That I have all of those?
We need to start researching into your solutions. We need to find the source. Actually, I guess, how do you even narrow down? Can all four be addressed, or should you try and did he suggest focusing one at a time? Or
so when it comes to our treatment, because we do start with the brain. We actually start, we balance the brain, and then we go from there.
Yeah.
Okay. But it always starts with the brain.
Yeah. So let's dive into the brain more. Had you already been a neurologist? Was that your focus of study already?
No. So, and I'm not a neurologist.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No.
I just said brain doctor to everybody I know. I'm like, she told me more about how my brain worked than I do, for sure.
So to be a neurologist, that's a separate degree.
Okay.
What I am is I'm a doctor of chiropractic, and I have a specialization in chiropractic neurology.
Okay. That's where I got the word in there. I'm like, I'm probably way wrong, and I feel real stupid right now. No, that's good. So definitely, but those work together for sure, especially when something's being pinched.
Yeah.
That was the first time I ever thought about, wow, that can really interrupt so much of your day. Even just the bone structure.
Well, and that's, when people think of chiropractors, they think we're musculoskeletal specialists.
Mm-hmm.
We are. However, what moves our muscles? Nerves, our nervous system. That is the foundation of what we do. So addressing the nerves can address our structure and our function.
And now when you made this pivot to kind of add it, well, I guess did you expand on the brain side of it after that one pivotal moment with the Y files? when you started diving into like researching about these connections and all this neurology, what started to be the most interesting factors that were like coming forward, things that really shone and stuck out to you?
For me, right now, actually, is the more of the movement piece, actually, how the lack of movement is really producing a lot of ailments.
Mm-hmm.
One thing we can discuss is fibromyalgia. Most people that have fibromyalgia, if we look back in their history, we see lack of movement.
Mm-hmm.
So we have lack of nerve stimulation.
Absolutely.
Leading to dysfunction.
And you know, it's funny, as soon as you say the word stimulation, we just had a dog trainer at our house last night. And it's so interesting where she was even talking about, like, you know, inside your house, the level of e-collar training we'd be doing is a lower number for response than it will be outside when there's a lot more stimulation. She's got more things to smell, more things to see, things that aren't the normal, boring all the time because you're in this sedentary state for all day, every day for most everybody, and pups too, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But so we definitely take our dog out as often as we can, but now with a little better training. Thank you to also, by the way, Inline Canine Academy, Brittany Straw. She's awesome. I feel so confident in it now, by the way. But okay, so movement of the body. So what are some of your favorite movements people should do? Because, like, for instance, on a treadmill, I hate to admit, I really hate treadmills because you run in one spot, kind of the same thing. And when you get off, you just feel goofy. So I'm like, I don't think that's necessarily my favorite fashion of, like, exercise hitting the gym. But is there stuff that you guys suggest or recommend?
Really? We go back to the basics. You see on Instagram and our social media, everyone's doing these crazy workouts, you know, very dynamic, which, yes, we want to be dynamic, but we also want to make sure that we're maintaining our proper technique and posture throughout the exercises, throughout our movements, to make sure we're actually affecting the proper musculature.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, doing a wall squat with a ball behind you, so using a big Swiss ball.
So you have an arch to your back that it should have.
Exactly.
Oh, I've never done a wall sit that way. CrossFit, you were trying to hurt me. I knew it this whole time. Oh, God. That was when I felt my body at its best because it was like super strong. But at its worst, I hurt all over all the time.
Yes.
Terrible.
Well, and then, for example, had a patient the other day who works out. Mm-hmm. So, but I'm going to show you this wall squat. And oh, that looks kind of too easy.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, it's a very simple idea, very simple concept, but the challenge is doing it correctly, engaging the correct muscles, going down in proper posture, coming back up in proper posture. So when you apply all of those together, it's not as easy as it looks.
Correct. And actually, with that note, I kind of want to dive into some of the testing that we did that I thought I was going to nail it. Like,
yes.
I was really shocked when I failed it. So I'll mention some of the testing we did. I really like that we start with eye testing, with tracking, which can be a very good indicator. I could see where I'm like, yeah, some of those were really hard to do, but I almost fully nailed that one. Ding, check. Yeah. So then we're moving on to like different palpitations, making sure there's reactions and things. Things are going good there. I love, by the way, what's that little spinny pokey wheel?
That is our pinwheel.
The pinwheel. That's right.
Yes.
That was so weird and so cool, but that really helped also reveal some too, because there was areas I didn't feel.
Yes.
And I'm like, why didn't I feel that? Like, because I feel like a perfectly healthy person in general, of course, too. But so then once that we passed that, which I just thought was, oh, that's odd. You know, we can fix it. Maybe it's just a pinch nerve. We'll just get that back. C6. We're on it. Or excuse me. Yeah, that's the right one. Yep. So then we moved on to the walking test and the balance test. This is where I was shocked. So for myself in particular, when I did, you had marching in place, then there's also marching forward, and you did them first with your eyes open. Then you repeat those with your eyes closed.
Yes.
When I do them, because of what's affected in my brain, which we'll, of course, reveal, but I ended up forward and to the left, way to the left. And then with the balance testing, if my eyes were closed and I was looking, or, you know, face up, so to say, like when you're washing your hair in the shower, I fell backwards into the left. Not a, you know, thankfully no crash, but definitely you guys caught me. I was like, what am
first.
I doing over here? So, but when you mentioned that, you know, and for the shower and stuff, like that's what started making me think differently. Now, what happened with mine in particular is the stressors that I had around me that I was allowing to affect me more than I should have. I'm just a Leo. I like justice in my life. But either way, the stress from that, plus potentially also all the food stress I didn't know I was putting my body through for a long time, My left cerebellum, which creates dopamine, which is the de-stressor in your body, is exhausted. It is so tired. And so my little exercises are just things like, you know, following a dot over to the right, closing my eyes, bring it back, and just repeating that. Looking at my thumb and turning my head, but keeping an eye on my thumb, like tracking it. And I thought that these were really, you know, too easy, but same thing. By the time I finished, I actually felt like I needed a nap. So after I do them, I take a nap every time now for like 10 minutes.
Wonderful.
Because I'm like, oh, hey, okay, brain, you did good. Take a little chill break and you'll be good to go.
Yes.
But so with those tests with a lot of people, when you do them, I mean, what do people learn about themselves? What are some of the things that you're finding that are actually consistent issues maybe in patients across the board?
So most people during the testing are completely unaware of the weaknesses that they have.
Mm-hmm.
So just like you were saying, I'm going to do just fine on this, and then close your eyes and now we're off balance. So that's the biggest trend I see, is people just have a lack of awareness to their own bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then for women, that whole shower thing, do you find that really common for female patients to have a bit of that imbalance in that, you know, either direction, of course, but especially for that dopamine creating side?
So generally, if we're talking brains, women are generally more right-brained.
Mm-hmm.
Men are generally more left-brained. Our brains work in kind of cross connections.
Mm-hmm.
So if I want to stimulate right brain, I have to do things on my left side, okay?
Yeah.
So talking about that, now generally, say my cortex is weak on the right, that means my left cerebellum will generally be weak.
Mm-hmm.
So for you, working on that left cerebellum,
yeah,
that's what I'll usually find in most women, mm-hmm. is it will be that left cerebellum, because yeah. we are generally dominantly right-brained.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another Ooh. Common trend.
Yeah, we're just active.
Yes.
Sure. And it's so funny too, because we were talking about, you know, even trying to stimulate that other side. And I told you, I always heard that trying to just use your left for other things, you know, if you're right-handed, of course, would change things. One of the ways I tried it recently was putting my pants on differently. That was, it's weird when you change one thing, how much you have to focus.
How did
to
you do that?
I just didn't realize until one day. I'm like, I always start with my right. So I was like, let's just try the other. And I was like, oh gotcha. Wow. hang on. But it's good to be able to. Was that a beeper?
I think that was
the printer.
Yeah.
Oh, you got an incoming call.
Uh-oh.
Do you want me to answer it with my left hand?
That's a fax line. Earlier today, I went and turned the ringer off, so I'm glad I could accomplish something.
Don't sweat it. That's fine and perfect. Hopefully, it's something important that says you've won $1 million. We love those things.
Probably a bill collector, because that's the number I give them.
Oh, that's the number we need to give your mom next for some of those dialing with Denise's. We'll talk more about that later. Sorry, where were we? I got distracted for a second there.
Who are these people?
We were talking about women. Oh, left, using the left side, putting left
Your
one on first.
On.
Yep. I tried also using my left hand for brushing my teeth, which is like, I know it's yes. not as good of a brush, but definitely it's still like, I feel it does do that stimulation. When you do something out of the ordinary that you haven't done before,
yes.
it's really important to do. It also makes me think too, one exercise, and I don't remember if I mentioned this to you while I was there, but I did a women's self-defense class. And something else that kind of led me into jumping into this. I'd never done one before because I thought I was pretty aware from the karate I took as a kid. Like, I got this. But going into that class, I realized, oh no, I needed some more training and some more tips and techniques. And so in that class, just because it was like new things I was learning, by the end of that training, I felt some kind of new jazz, like,
yes.
whoo, neuroplasticity on point. Like
100%.
Yeah, flowing and changing. So definitely, I say martial arts is one to add to the list. Talk about zen there. All right, couple other things I want to jump into too. So we talked about specific women's issues. Oh, so let's talk about the food side of it, because I was happy that you guys do talk about that too. Is there any foods, especially in your office and in your practice, that you seem to come across consistently as an issue? Like, for instance, I know there's a big thing on gluten. We kind of talked about gluten maybe being a factor in mine.
Mm-hmm.
Caffeine, like, is that a huge one? Like, what kind of things are people eating that they should think about maybe a little bit more?
So with our patient, and our patient population is a little bit different, because majority of our patients end up presenting with autoimmunity.
Okay.
So what we do is just a standardized diet in the sense that we're taking away all the big offenders. So we take away the glutens, so our wheat products. We take away our dairy products. We take away caffeine for a while, mm-hmm. alcohols, because those are all inflammatory foods, inflammatory substances. So those inflammatory substances will
irritate.
Essentially irritate the GI tract. Mm-hmm. And then in turn, that can give us some brain dysfunction.
Yeah, because your body's trying to tell you something is firing off is wrong down here.
Exactly. And we have, it's called the vagus nerve. And the vagus nerve is what connects the brain to the stomach. Mm-hmm. So it's via that nerve that we can get that information from the stomach saying, hey, I'm not liking this. And then the brain says, okay, I'm with you. We don't like this. Mm-hmm. And then you can get things such as brain fog, forgetful memory, mood swings. So your body starts presenting with these symptoms based on the foods that you're consuming.
One of the things I found after doing the food journal portion, because I had to watch my food for a week, write it down, and I was already being pretty good, keeping things straight and clean, but it made me realize snacking is so important to that. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think a lot of women and moms, you know, you do it for your kids, you keep snacks in your bag, you keep them, you know, they're just going to turn into crazy little things, eat something, chill. But even for us, so important, and keeping, especially like you guys suggest me, you know, pumpkin seeds, it's like fatty things like that. That night, I love when you told me, okay, today your brain worked hard. She told me, she said, you go home and have some salmon. And I said, ooh, and some avocado. Like she was saying, yes, those fatty things are good. I was like, those are my favorite and I have them. So I'll totally eat that. Should people include, like, you know, when people talk about, a lot of people try and take fat out of their diet. They just think fat in general. Mm-hmm. You know, we know there's those good fats, like we said, salmon and avocado, but is there some other ones that people should really keep extra on hand and start giving themselves more for a healthier balance in the brain?
So our brain is made of fat. It craves fat, but the good fat. So our omegas. So anything that's got an omega-3 or omega-6 in it, that's going to be just restorative to the brain. So the salmons, the avocados, seaweed. That's a wonderful, wonderful substance.
Chips, I love
She
them.
Is totally describing Fear Factor to me right now.
None of the above.
Those are kind of the three big ones that I go to. But then also kind of talking in the meat realm, definitely suggest fish as opposed to red meat. Because our red meat has a substance in it called arachidonic acid. And that will kind of promote our arachidonic pathway within our body, which is a pro-inflammatory pathway.
I've never heard this word arachidonic. It sounds like a dinosaur. What is the arachidonic? What does that do?
It's an acid that is produced from in the muscle tissues. Mm-hmm. But it just promotes inflammation within our systems.
Okay. You know, it's funny. As soon as you said that, I thought about lactic acid. I used to wonder if I was getting lactic acid from like cows or anything. Every time I had meat, I'm like, is there any of that in there? Is that going to hurt me? Because it hurts when it's in my muscles. That's for sure. Oh gosh. Okay. So another thing I do want to talk about how it affects, you know, definitely the neurology between all of the body. Obviously, we saw each other in a dispensary. I ask too, are you a user of CBD or just THC in general? Or may I ask your story? What do you like? What's your sin?
I like it all.
Yes. So how does that factor in, do you think, for either use for yourself or use for your patients or just its effect in general? Tell me some of your thoughts there.
So I definitely use it for myself daily. Mm-hmm. I do. I like flower. Mm-hmm. But I always have a little CBD pen on me, just so if there's a stressful event that's coming, or even today, I was a little nervous coming here. Yeah. This is my first podcast ever.
And then she met me, and it all went out the window.
She's like, oh, this is going to be easy. It's a circus in here. I got it handled.
I'm chill and relaxed and having a wonderful time.
Now, I'm sure you also know, of course, part of all those, even the CBD or THC. Now, what I'll note for listeners, too, is the CBD is great for helping just everything. Like being a CBD rep myself, of course, that's why I was there, yes. Which I'll tell you the code by the end and more about Harmonious. It's all good. But what I noticed about it was all the research that was coming out showed that for all these different conditions, CBD, 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 it is the main thing for your endocannabinoid system, which is something that does exist in your body. And it's yes. a puzzle piece. It's kind of amazing. And so for people for CBD, I'm like, just remember, it won't get you high. Like that's the great part. Yes. There could still be some terpenes at play if you're getting something super strong in some way, but that's when you watch your ingredients, you watch and you do your research. And that's all I tell patients coming in. You know, everybody else coming in just says the same question, give me your highest THC. And we're always like, you know, that's not the real thing that works, right? But the terpenes though, that's what I always think is very interesting. So for you, do you dive into picking by terpenes? Do you pick by smell? What do you pick by?
I generally pick by smell, mm-hmm. but we also do the terpenes because I cannot remember, you might know this, but there is one that kind of decreases the munchies.
Oh, I couldn't tell you. There's a couple. I might have to pull out my notes on them, but yeah.
I think it starts with an M.
Myrcene, maybe?
No.
I can't remember.
Yeah. But there's one that it decreases your munchies, so I
stick with that one. Yeah.
Right.
There's yeah. definitely a couple of them in there. Like I was even impressed trying to share with some people when they come in about what the different ones are. I'm like, for what you're really looking for, the experience is in the terpenes. If you think you had a bad time on this, you can't blame all weed. That one's full of pinene. That's why you coughed like crazy, you know, or this one, that's why you were sleepy, you know. And even I have to watch out for ones that actually make me talk more, if you can imagine that. Thank God CBD helps kind of chill that out. That has been for me. The biggest balance I got from it was mood balancing. And I only started using it within actually the month that I actually came in there. I was just getting on board. And it was the first time I had tried a tincture. Because for me, tinctures go under the tongue so that they bypass the digestive system. You're not messing with that, but it's going to directly get in that central nervous system. And I thought, oh, that's for people who have, like, you know, they're shaking and they need to stop. I'm like, that's not right. me. I don't need serious medicine. But no, it turns out I actually do for some of the healing that I needed going on. Most every single body actually does. It's
yes.
kind of like a multivitamin they should be taking.
Well, and we do, myself and Dr. Moore here, we do prescribe it to our patients.
That's awesome.
Because in office.
Mm-hmm. We sell it in office because it's starting to heal your body from the inside out.
Yep.
And it's decreasing that inflammation at the best level it can.
Do especially your fibromyalgia patients come back in the office with happy reports to you?
Oh, we get the raving results.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And actually, I should ask, what kind of offerings do you have in the store? Is it mostly like a water or a tincture or something to rub on?
We have
it's just an oil dropper.
Oh, so the tincture, same thing. Yeah. Okay, bam, bam. Yeah.
And then
we do have topical.
Yeah,
but
I do a lot of work with topical with my patients.
For some reason, that one's not as strong as the actual oil.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I've sold a. 4 bottles in the last week.
Yeah.
And everyone loves it.
It is. It's, yeah.
it's
life changing. Mm-hmm.
You know, so it is life changing.
Yeah.
You know, that's the key.
And the only thing I warn people is watch the dosages on them. Some of them will say a whole dropper. You're just getting a whole lot of coconut oil, friend. Don't even. You're looking for
yes.
the drop, drop, drop kind for the real deal,
yes.
for sure. Don't get that soda at the gas station either. That stuff. I've been seeing CBD
yeah,
in so many other places.
Now, right?
And I'm like, oh, the deregulation has a little bit of a downside to it, where it's like, hang tight. What are you trying to serve up over here?
Yeah.
We're paying more for like hemp seed oil that's in something. Y'all don't even go that way. Now, outside of those things, which are now obviously on differently treated in our United States, let's talk about some psychedelics maybe and how those affect people. Have you ever, watched into or even participated in research that shows the effect on how it can help somebody with getting through that pain or healing pain?
So coming from the Bay Area, we actually saw a lot of microdosing.
Yes.
In the tech community.
In the tech community.
Yes, I actually met somebody who did that. I forgot all about it. I thought he was crazy when he said it. I'm like, you do drugs every day? Like, that was the first time I'd ever considered. I'm like, what?
You're
such a stand-up gentleman. I'm not sure what I think now. But microdosing which particular things? LSD or mushrooms or?
Most of them, it was LSD.
Mm-hmm.
And really, it is to just open up the different parts of the brain that we can't access when we're normally conscious.
Mm-hmm.
And just phenomenal phenomenal things I've heard from people.
Yeah.
I myself haven't.
You know, there's one story I always tell people, and it was interesting. It was you know, not recommended, not prescribed either, but there. So out of Burning Man, that's where I've seen and had any of my play, but my play was gentle, fun, and lovely. But there was a couple of brothers that we camped with 1 year, and I don't know what he had. I have no idea what he had. But that night, he like faced his demons, so to say. His brother said he was crazy, like trying to like punch or kill him or something. But the next morning when he came out of that trailer, he was glowing, like the happiest I've ever seen. And he even was like, something is different. Something is good. And so whatever that was great for him.
Yes.
But you could see that difference in him, which I thought was interesting. But obviously, I don't know what kind of pains he was in beforehand, but emotionally that helped him a lot. And when you relieve emotional pain, sometimes that can relieve a physical pain you've been seeing. Where do you see that in patients a lot? You're
certainly shaking.
Yeah, you see it.
Yes. Well, my next point here.
Yes, please give us your notes. Yeah.
Was going to be talking about the stress response.
Please, yes.
And our society is in a stress response right now. We are overworked, overrun. We don't take time for ourselves. We have stress in so many different avenues. It's coming physically from our health. It's coming financially, you know, from, you know, our work, taking our kids to all these different sporting events.
What's the next thing that broke in the house?
Exactly.
All those pieces.
We are just surrounded by stress these days. And obviously that plays a big role on our brain.
Mm-hmm.
So I did want to talk a little bit about that stress response and how that really can affect our body physically. It can affect our stomachs. So what I really wanted to talk about was this sympathetic response that we have. Have you ever heard of the fight-flight response?
Yes.
Okay, and then there's the rest and digest.
Yes.
Okay, so we should be in a rest and digest most of the time. But currently we're in that fight-flight most of the time. And when we are in that state, we are releasing our neurotransmitters, our epinephrine, our norepinephrine. And what does that have a greater effect on for women? Our right brain.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Just adding to the cocktail. Why not?
And that's getting more into our emotional side, our worrisome side.
Yeah.
And by doing that, we're now producing more stress and more anxiety.
You know, I hate to put this note in here, but I have to say it. Something that I notice keeps coming up when I realize the stress response I have to what happens around me that's not happening to me, just happening.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's my mother who pops in my brain with this like insane training of you need to respond now. This is the stress now. Whatever it is, it's now. And so I'm learning to separate that.
Yes.
I still love you, Mom. Thank you for raising me. You did a great job. But I'm like, this is definitely, I think, even generationally, like inherited what we think we're supposed to be doing. And only by running into these issues and choosing very heavily to change my life to fix this so I didn't feel as upset as I did. The one thing I started doing differently is mornings are mine. I let mornings be, with the general exception of some alarm mornings, I wake up when I want to. Usually before my alarm, which is great.
Wonderful.
I take my time. I make my breakfast. And the one big thing, too, is I have more time to make all of my food. I have not. There's very little processed food I can actually have because of the ingredient panel. Paprika, thank you, everywhere for coloring. I'm like, good Lord. But anyway, but doing that, choosing that, giving that slowdown has given me more time to consider how to approach things, consider what should be approached later, consider what is a fight or flight response now. Versus rest, and you'll get back to it later.
Yes.
But back to your notes, what else you got in there?
Oh, and just going on, so now we're in this heightened state. So now we're activating our adrenals. And when our adrenals get activated, then we increase our cortisol. And then when cortisol is increased, then our thyroid starts to downregulate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I get into with most of our patients. We have an autoimmunity. So we're having attack on our immune system.
On the thyroid itself.
On the thyroid itself.
Yeah.
And then when the thyroid starts to downregulate, we're feeling sluggish, where our motivation is decreasing. Now we're just not feeling well.
Mm-hmm.
And Now, what this affects is then the left cortex.
Oh, hop to the other side.
Hop to the other side.
Come on, follow the train of crazy. It's just a going.
Everything's just dysfunctional now.
Mm-hmm.
And then the big thing that I see what happens is, so now our sympathetic nervous system is fully activated. And now we start shunting blood from our large abdominal veins and our arteries. And it goes into our arms and our legs. So this is our fight flight mode, because now we're ready to run. I'm ready to run away from that danger. So now everything's diverted away from our organs. And when that happens, our digestion stops.
And also, does that slow us down in that moment too? Does that add to that sluggishness when it moves away from the internal organs?
Certainly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm like trying to understand all the workings of this.
Yes. And it's a pathway. So kind of, or, you know, one system acts upon the next system. And that's where we come up with our disease model, where there's about 24 different pathways that all lead into disease.
And then most people sit and look at, okay, let's treat the symptom where we're at here, instead of backing up to the beginning of that pathway.
Yes. Which what created that symptom? Mm-hmm. What was the cause?
And that was a great thing when I actually sat with, I want to say it's Dr. Rutherford. Was that it? Yes. Correct. So the actual main doc at the practice there, yes. When I sat with him for our consultation, he brought up the one thing I'd never considered as a stressor, which was so weird. He's like, even divorce is a big stress. And I was like, holy cow. And I'm like, it's not even my divorce. And I realize it's affecting me. And I was like, oh, I need to not let that. I'm like, dang, that's a big one. Yes. But we talked about cell phones. I will say cell phones being a consistent little thing when you feel in your pocket for it. Even that's a moment of stress. Like, where's my phone?
Hold on.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I just got a text message. Okay, we're good.
Even the calls from faxes are so interrupted. No, but cell phones, we talked about being a really big thing. That's, you know, even those, unplugging for them is going to be so healthy to give your body a literal break,
yes,
from something that'll interrupt and get you into a shock mode. I know, I mean, especially when you're going through a tough time, you don't want to hear some ringtones. They make you stress as soon as they go off.
Mm-hmm. So I just have to ask, is, yeah, this an intervention? Because everything you've done has described me and my life for the last 35 minutes. And when my wife hears this, you guys are going to be getting about 12 phone calls, I swear.
And the answer is THC or CBD. We shall prescribe you some CBD here today and you will be solved.
Right, I remember it didn't work.
THC, CBD is different.
Okay.
But the CBD would be adding it in. You'd notice it over time as you get like a healthier balance in it. Okay, so yeah, we got plenty for you.
I just got offered my first drugs ever in my life. I didn't know how to handle it. Mom, I said no.
I used to use the line, I don't smoke on days that end in Y. I thought it was so clever. Came from a magazine. It's so funny now to think like all of that when we were kids, just pushing all of that away from us. But now I will give credit to Dope magazine. Their most recent issue has a 13-year-old on the cover. She had bone cancer in her jaw. And she, I'm going to guess Rick Simpson, well, I didn't read the full article as deeply as I wish, but she treated it with cannabis and she healed it. Now she's working not only with her own company she made with like kind of kid-friendly stuff, but she's also going into different, trying to change the school policy on how they talk about it from dare to care, so that you actually are kind to kids who are, that is their herbal, natural medicine treatment. They should not be bullied, other things that happen, yes, to her. And I'm just like, I like that this is shifting forward. This will help, I think, in the future. But then, of course, there's most kids who won't even try it anyways. They're like, I see my parents do it. I'm not into it. Whatever. Mm-hmm. We'll see how they all turn out. All right, what more do we have in your notes here? Keep going. You brought some good stuff with you.
So most of us that are also going through this stress response, one thing that happens is we have a lack of energy.
Big time.
Big time.
And then hello, caffeine.
Me again. Hi.
It's another check.
How are you?
Next, we give you the PMS voice. Our podcasters know nothing about that. I'm sorry. It's a voice mode. Sounds like the devil. But so, lack of energy. And of course, we're trying to fix it with caffeine,
yes,
amongst other,
yes,
things.
Yes, we're looking for those stimulants, right? But what happens is when those adrenals are going, we've got that epinephrine, the norepinephrine that are just flooding through our system. That starts breaking down our glycogen into glucose and cortisol. It starts a process called gluconeogenesis. Going way back to science class, Krebs cycle. Remember that?
No.
Okay. That's a
That's why you have doctor in front of your name, and I do not. I had LMT was as good as that guy.
lots of terms here that everyone can go look up.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens then is that causes our blood sugar to elevate. And when that elevates, it depletes our B vitamins. And our B vitamins are what energize us.
And all of those
B vitamins actually is what runs the Krebs cycle. And the Krebs cycle is what gives every single person's body energy.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So and I know that there's that B12 shot people will go get. Is B12 the one to kind of focus on? It should be a range of Bs you're trying to get into your system to help with that too.
It should be a range of Bs. Mm-hmm. B12 injections, they're very common and very popular, but I do think we should be looking at the bigger picture.
Yes.
Exactly.
Not just solving it like how, you know, stars do going on stage. That's not it.
Yes.
I always hear that they get a big shot of it before they go out, so it could last 3 hours, and I'm like, oh, that sounds terrible. Like, what a performance warm-up. Aye, aye, aye. Okay, so with the stress in our bodies, I'm sorry, I know you're switching to a different one there for her.
Oh, we were, the last point on this was the different symptoms our common diagnoses that come from a sympathetic response.
Mm-hmm.
So we get chronic fatigue syndrome, we get fibromyalgia, depression, insomnia, obesity, we get ulcers, gallstones, irritable bowel syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
On that, we can go even further into ulcerative colitis, Crohn's disease.
I've heard of leaky gut syndrome as well. Point right at it. Leaky gut. I was like,
G
that just sounds gross. What?
G or B?
Gut G.
Okay. both.
Great clarification there.
Oh, but yes, leaky gut with a G. It sounds like a nasty oil leak or something. I'm like, what is a leaky gut?
And one big thing that all this can lead to, it's a big issue today,
mm-hmm.
infertility.
No way.
Way.
I never, of course, I'm not trying for a baby. That's probably why I haven't thought about it thoroughly, but dang, this is so true.
And for our men out there, if you're listening, mm-hmm. erectile dysfunction.
Yep, see, works. Don't look at me that.
I didn't realize I had it that one.
Exactly, I'm like, don't tell me that's on the list, dude.
It's not that it's not true, it's just that I don't want to admit it.
No. Oh, God, and you know, it's funny, when you said that even too, I forgot. Growing up, you know, when you're learning about your menstrual cycle, they talk about stress can change how that actually works, when it's coming, all those things. And it should be regular, you know, but if you are really stressed or super underweight, which is stress on the body as well, too,
mm-hmm.
it can absolutely change everything about that. That makes so much sense.
Mm-hmm.
God, the body's an amazing thing.
Isn't it?
It's sad when we're like putting it through so much pressure, but I just don't think there's enough education about it, really. And actually, what do you guys do to try and educate the public? Do you go outside of the office ever and put on little like fun tests for people with a pinwheel and try to teach them a little bit about themselves?
We haven't, actually.
Okay.
We just try to give our patients as much education when they're in office,
mm-hmm.
so that they now have that knowledge and then they can pass that knowledge on to their friends and families.
Yeah.
Oh. And it's already working. Today I've learned everything I'm doing is wrong.
Jerky, your lifestyle is going to kill you sooner than later.
It's nice knowing you guys.
Just show me how to push the buttons before you go. No.
I just got to make it 18 more minutes to push stop.
You know, I'll say you did really do, when I was in there, I felt like I was very well explained each step that was happening. And one of my favorite things that you did was when we incorporated essential oil.
Yes.
Oh, we should actually. Can we dive into? Because obviously that's a huge thing. Everybody knows essential oils affect you. Hello, they're like a terpene. but so let's talk about some of the ones, like what that was doing to my brain, actually. I do want to join that in.
Yeah. So what I use the essential oils for in office is stimulating the frontal cortex. The frontal cortex is really what's involved in our stress response.
Okay.
It's kind of our master controller. It controls our behavior, our emotions. The list goes on of all the functions of that frontal cortex. But what happens is you can take an essential oil. Say I'm putting it on the right side, so I'm smelling under my right nostril. That is going directly into the olfactory nerve, which is our first cranial nerve. And it goes straight into the brain to stimulate that right cortex.
I just, the way you just said that, that's the same way cocaine works for people, eh? Is that the same thing that's happening, those same effects? Only, well, of course, differently because it's not the same substance, but,
yes, but
that's why it works quickly because it's going right to the first thing that affects everything in your body.
Yes.
Oy vey. So that's the right side. What about the left side?
So left side, you smell on the left side. So sense of smell is our only sense that goes what we call ipsilateral.
Both ipsilateral. Sides?
Ipsilateral means same side.
Oh, okay, okay.
So if I want to affect the right cortex using smell, I smell right. Mm-hmm. If I want to affect the left, I smell left.
Okay. Now, actually going with that, is there any sense, the first I think of is lavender, and of course, de-stress, but is there other sense that you find to be effective that maybe people should keep handy at work to help kind of give themselves a break during the day?
When it comes to the smells, when just trying to affect the brain and the stress response, it's smells that are pleasant to you.
Okay.
So in that sense, we don't need to get into, like, I mean, of course, and lavender is a calming one just naturally.
Yeah.
But peppermint and vanilla could be calming to someone.
Yeah. One that I think of, ylang ylang. Mm-hmm. I laugh for two reasons about this one, because first of all, I know it's good for that time of the month. But what's funny is that's the only time of the month that smells good to me. The rest of the year, the month, it smells like a baby diaper or something to me. And I've always, like, truly hated it. But it switches during that time. Is there, do you know why? Is there any? Yeah, go ahead. Please tell me.
Our body craves things that it needs. So when we are, when our blood sugars are low, we are craving sugar. When our adrenals are overactive because we're stressed out, we crave salt. And for that, during that time of the month, that's something that your body needs and can be beneficial because it's very good for decreasing inflammation.
Heck yeah.
And what's happening during our menses? Massive inflammation.
Basically it. Hence why I turned greatly to CBD as well, which that also changed how it was approached, because I'm sorry, TMI for everybody. I have an IUD and boy does that fucker hurt.
Like, we're both doctors, by the way.
I know exactly. I'm like,
it was more for me.
Exactly. Just a little padding to that information. But I am very open to people about it, especially when I talk about the CBD at my pop-ups, because I'm like, look, what I had beforehand was as it started to swell, it hurt. And as it decreases, it hurt. And I was like, but the CBD helped that now only hurts back down to the 5 days it should hurt. You know, beforehand it was like, oh my God, 2 weeks is what I felt like I was going through. It was insane. I was like, there's something is wrong. But mostly too, I was taking the wrong pills. I was taking acetaminophen too. That's for pain. That's for fever. Switched back to ibuprofen. But even then I was like, still too many of these. So I switched to CBD and now I need like a couple of those. Thank God.
And that's because most of us do. We go to an ibuprofen or something like that. But what's that affecting? Our liver.
How are you?
Another check.
Check. Check
I got the two big Costco bottles by the bed.
Same. And that's when I bought the next set of them, that's when I was like, something doesn't seem right about this purchase. Like,
the price.
The price. But really, just the size, the number. And I was just like, that's when I started going, there's got to be some other options. We've got to look into some other things.
There's natural options.
Like what?
The CBD.
Ta-da. Exactly. Yes, that's one for sure. Actually, is there any, you know, in doing my research for anti-inflammatory, I've learned pineapple's a great anti-inflammatory, basil. Like, there's some really fun little things out there that can help with that. I love that you're nodding at me. Yay. Good job, Tessa.
So pizza.
Yes.
I wish.
I wish.
Is that where I keep getting things wrong?
You know, I do want to ask one thing. You mentioned when the body is craving things. What if you crave something that's really unhealthy, obviously? That could be mental addictions you have to those ingredients, too. But do you recommend you should research what's in that you're kind of figuring out what you're craving from that, or go ahead and just have that bad food? Which one?
Oh, it's tough because a lot of our cravings, they are emotional.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's coming from, you know, some type of circumstance, and this is what I've always gone to, so this is what I'm going to now. So when you're having, so say you're having a sweet craving and you want to jump to that ice cream, maybe reconsider the ice cream because it is dairy and inflammatory, and maybe have a bowl of Greek yogurt and some strawberries.
Yeah.
Or Reese's peanut butter cups.
Oh, I wish.
That's what I do.
I'm shaking my head because I have this struggle, like when I know that there's a better option, but I've still grabbed me some Magnum ice cream and polished it off. I'm like, this is good. I didn't it took 3 days. I was pretty good about it. But yeah, those cravings, man, they can make such a difference. So hopefully people recognize what that to hopefully women realize from this, the symptoms that come out, the things you recognize out there, turn it back inwards. There's got to be something else going on, and you can shift a lot of that with just movement, first of all. I can't believe that that's such a simple solution. And then, of course, as you're moving, if you notice that some things ain't moving as they used to, go come on in and see you guys to figure out what's going on with that alignment. Sometimes you just need a little crack here or there, which is amazing. Actually, yeah,
not the drug.
Oh, my God.
We talked about drugs a lot. We got to clarify that.
We have.
Bone manipulation. I'll use a better term here for it, too.
That's going to be a good drop for our other show, though.
So I think a couple
needing
things.
Some crack.
Please feel free. Take it with you. I want to ask a couple of brain games. I know you gave me some brain exercises. Are there any brain exercises you want to recommend to our ladies, especially about what they can do to help their brain get a little bit better?
So some things are very basic. Art, drawing.
Yes. Right. Art is so important.
So important.
And what ladies need to do that successfully is remove your judgment from it. Just let it out, whatever it is. Color in a mandala. That's what I've done to really kind of give myself some freedom, since I know I can't doodle perfectly, but I can still color well. Okay, art, creative stuff there.
You can do learning a new task or learning a new skill. So learning a language, for example, that is just phenomenally stimulating. Mm-hmm. You could do learning how to cook. You know, lots of us don't know how to cook these days.
I'm learning a lot of new things to cook, that's for sure. I've actually realized one thing I have to do finally is I need to cook some crab. Like, I've never really done that, but I'm like, if I ever want it, every crab out there I can't have because the paprika they put in it. So I'm like, well, I got to learn this one. Learning new stuff is good. You know, as soon as you said that too, I thought about when people start a new job, you notice when people start a new job, they're really on a new level, especially because there's new stimulation, new things they're learning, and it tapers off over a certain amount of time, of course, but really learning is where it's at.
Yes.
Speaking of learning then, is there some books maybe that you have read in your career or your lifetime, books that people should maybe read to understand more? And the reason I ask that is there's one brain-ish book I have. It's A Stroke of Insight. Jill Bolte Taylor, I think is her name, and she was a doctor who studied brains, had a stroke, thought it was the coolest thing ever happening to her because she's into that stuff. But of course, after having the stroke, she had to rehabilitate, and it was quite an interesting process where her left side is where the hemorrhaging happened. So she became very much more energetically in tune. Like, she felt who was coming into the room. She felt if they were kind to her or not, like really was focused into just that, because she couldn't bring forth information as easily as she could before. She had to really come back through it. But I'm working my way through that book. I thought it was interesting. But what kind of books do you have to recommend?
I have not read anything recently.
No brain books? That's okay. Any brain documentaries or anything like that?
Not brain documentaries, but there is The Paleo Way, which is actually more of the nutrition based. But I think it's a very good documentary to just show how our food can affect just everything about us.
Okay.
And they do get into brain-based events there. One of the speakers is a neurologist. So she has a component on there, but that's The Paleo Way. Okay. I love that documentary. It's on Netflix. And The Magic Pill.
The Magic. Why do I know that? No, I watched Take Your Pill. What's The Magic Pill? Sorry, that's my phone now going
that
on.
Was not me.
That was me.
The Magic Pill, again, it's more nutrition based, but talking how our foods can help make us healthy again, but also how our foods are making us unhealthy, but goes into all the different realms of that, so physically and mentally.
And I'll suggest for mental health, as you watch these, I noticed myself I would break down a lot of times after these things, like I'm doing it all wrong, and I'd freak out about how to change it. Exactly. And so when you watch these ladies, just know your changes will come one step at a time. You'll just learn to improve one thing that you notice, do that thing well, add into the next one, because it's not, you don't have to change everything overnight. You didn't grow overnight. You didn't become a lady overnight. Just give it time, turning into the thing you need to be perfectly. Okay, so one thing I do want to mention lastly. So one thing I love to ask all of my guests, one of my favorite things in the world is space. I really like outer space. You clap too? yes!
Do you believe in aliens?
Oh, totally. I'm like, technically there's aliens on our planet and actually our hot springs here in Nevada, there is bacteria that do not have a carbon base. They are technically alien. They're not like us in any fashion with their stuff. Something weird I learned the other day. But so space, is aliens your favorite potential thing about space?
Oh, space has just fascinated me since I was a kid. There's something beyond us.
Mm-hmm.
That's what intrigues me.
It's our real backyard.
Literally.
When you get into space stuff, do you do anything like go to the planetarium? Do you look at stars? What do you like to do nowadays?
So we live up in the northwest of Reno. So we are able to just...
Yes.
we go hiking all the time, and sometimes we like to do night hikes mm-hmm. and look at the stars.
Heck yeah, I'm with you guys on that. And you have to get out west to here so you get away from those lights.
Lights,
it's
yes.
so crazy how light pollution really does ruin the view, but mm-hmm. oh, I love that. Actually, my new thing I'm doing right now, and it just started in the last couple days, someone told me I could see Saturn with my binoculars. So I was like, oh, I'm totally going to try that tonight. And as soon as I did, I need some better binoculars. But I was like, wait a second, why don't I look at the moon? And it was so beautiful, like so crystal clear. You see all those craters, you see yes. all the shadows. So every night now I'm going out with my binoculars to take a look at the moon, just check out how she's looking, how she's doing up there. It's beautiful. I'm yes. so glad you like space. We're gonna have to talk that more in the future.
Yes.
For sure. Hell yeah. I think that kind of narrows it down. Is there anything else important that either of you want to continue to add for any of the women out there about their health, their wellness, what they can do for themselves, or anything else?
Women, start taking time for yourselves. That is one thing I find, because we are so good at caring for others that we neglect ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And if we neglect ourselves, how are we going to be there for others? So
yeah.
let's start putting the focus back on us.
Get that oxygen mask on, ladies.
Yes. Oxygen, oxygen, oxygen.
Hell yeah. And get outside. Get fresh air. Yes. God, go for that hike. It doesn't matter if it's night or day, whatever it is. Pick that time for you. Pick that time to be well. We really want to help you out, guys. So again, Dr. Alicia Walker.
Yes.
Yes. And Dr. Tim Moore, thank you also for being here as well.
Was there anything you guys wanted to plug while you were here?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. Yes, we should talk about the business.
Facebook, websites, anything like that.
Oh, I mean, we both work at Power Health mm-hmm. here in Reno, Nevada. Again, I do the functional neurology. Dr. Tim Moore does more of the chiropractic.
Mm-hmm.
More function-based. So if you're wanting a little bit more of movement-based type stuff, more athlete things, hikers, bikers, that kind of thing, we'll focus a little bit more on that realm and get you guys moving in a way that it helps you for the future and the long term.
Yeah.
You know, not just now, not just getting you out of pain, not just sitting in there like the regular system right now and just treating symptoms. I want to find the root. Let's find the root and let's get you moving better.
Nice.
Right.
And then how about for you? What are patients can they expect from you when they come in?
I think what they can expect is that they're going to be informed. They're going to get that education. They're going to get the whys to their questions. That's been some of the really good feedback that I've received is thank you for explaining that to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because unfortunately in our system right now, a lot of the medical professionals just don't have the time to provide those whys. And thankfully for how our practice is set up, we're able to take that time with our patients to explain that.
Yeah, that was something I liked in there as well, too. And that there was a water massage table.
Yes.
That was when I was sniffing the stuff. It was like,
yes.
I was like, I'm just going to come back in just for this table. Is that okay? Can I just pay for the 20 minutes
yes.
myself? Which is awesome.
You yes, you can.
Yes, I need to come in for that, too. And one more thing. You said the Y, and it reminded me of the Y files. Will you spell that particular doctor's name? Can you spell it?
Yes, it's... Dr. Morken.
Dr. John D'Onofrio. D-O-N-O-F-R-I-O.
D'Onofrio. Because, yeah, I'd never heard the name before, but obviously
yes.
sounds like somebody well-respected.
He is, both of ours, just a wonderful mentor. He definitely left this planet too soon. He had just a phenomenal presence. His spirit, his energy was contagious. He really reawakened my passion for chiropractic because it was in that seminar I realized I can do so much more with my education. Mm-hmm. I can reach so many more people with this education.
Oh, I love when that spark goes off in somebody and sends you on that right path. I'm so glad you were there that day. Yes. I'm so glad for what you do. And definitely, you're making an impact. You made a big impact on me, even in the small little things I'm trying to change, like putting my pants on differently. It is helping my life for sure. So thank you again. Guys, this is Woo Woo Women of the West. I'm Tess Marie. Thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to seeing you next episode. Be well. Mwah.